Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to share briefly with you this morning a quick word on the title of Run For It. Run For It. A couple of weeks ago, not too long ago, I have a friend who celebrated her 25th wedding anniversary with her and her husband, and it was wonderful. And they had family assembled and so forth and so on, and I saw her this past Sunday at a church service, and sitting there with her mom, and her mom was smiling. And just yesterday, I got an email said her mom had gone on to be with the Lord, and I was like, whoa, I had no idea. Just in the middle of the week, and I was not aware of the medical struggles that she had gone through, and she has run her race. And as I was thinking about that, the Lord led me over to Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter 12. And I'm going to read from the Message Bible, so you don't need to turn to it. I'm going to read from the Message Bible translation. It says, the fundamental fact of existence is that trust in God, faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our spiritual ancestors and set them above the crowd. And then Hebrews goes on to talk about all these ancestors and what they've done. Abel and his walk of faith. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, and how they had taken steps of faith in their life. And then in verse 32, it says, I could go on and on, but I've run out of time. There are so many more. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. And then in chapter 12, it goes on and says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it, strip down, start running, and never quit. I'll read that again. We'd better get on with it, strip down, start running, and never quit. We'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. We'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again. Item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. So don't sit around on your hands, no more dragging your feet. Clear the path for long distance runners, so no one will trip and fail. No one will trip and fall. So no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. Run for it. You've got your race to run. You don't know when your race will be over. Just like I didn't know when this mother's race was over. She didn't know when her race was over. But her race is over. What are you going to do about your race? You've got to run your race, and it's a long distance marathon. Amen. Stop your complaining, your bickering, your belly aching. Jesus, the text said in this Message translation, put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. I was reminded of a story that was written, a true story written by my colleague Frederic Colas, called Marathon of Hope. Let me share it with you. Dick Trom planted a seed in Terry's mind. Who knew it would sprout into this? Terry Fox, a native Canadian, was 18 years old when he was diagnosed with osteosarcoma, a type of cancer that often starts with the knee. After the amputation of his right leg, Terry endured months of chemotherapy. During that time, he was confronted with the sad reality that cancer strikes indiscriminately and spares no one, not even kids. Terry himself was just a kid, but the sight of children younger than him battling cancer at such a young age and undergoing rounds and rounds of chemotherapy pierced his heart. When he left the hospital, he felt like a survivor and vowed to do something to help those he had left behind in the cancer ward, because in his own words, the hurting must stop. But do what? The night before his surgery, Terry had read an article about Dick Trom, the first amputee to have completed the New York Marathon. That's it, he said to himself. I'll run a marathon of one across Canada. His goal was to raise $24 million, $1 for every Canadian. A few things worth knowing about Terry. He loved sports. He was also very persevering and stubborn. He may not have been a great athlete, but what he lacked in raw talent, he compensated for with a work ethic and a resolve second to none. So he trained. He trained for 14 months with his new artificial leg to prepare for his marathon of hope. And this was in the late 1970s, more than 30 years ago, when the prostheses, the artificial limbs, were kind of primitive by today's standards. So his new artificial leg caused Terry to walk and run with a strange hop gait. But he began his trek. And began his trek in total anonymity in St. John's, Newfoundland. Reactions were quite varied. Some people would constantly try to offer him a lift, felt sorry for it, offer him a lift in their cars. Others would kind of drive him off the road. Terry would rise at 4 a.m. in the morning, run 16 miles, then rest, and run 12 miles in the afternoon, all in that peculiar run gait. Along the way, he collected small donations, but he was running a marathon every day. 16 miles, rest, 12 miles in the afternoon. 4 a.m., 16 miles, rest, 12 miles in the afternoon. 4 a.m., 16 miles, rest, 12 miles in the afternoon. He ran a marathon every day. Along the way, he collected small donations from a few bystanders, but the magnitude of his endeavor started changing after 548 miles. At that point, he reached Port-au-Basque, which had a total population of 10,000. The city's residents gathered together and presented him with a donation of $10,000. Several events organized along his route helped publicize his cause. Then, after running 2,059 miles and reaching Ottawa, Terry was invited to kick the opening ball of a Canadian Football League exhibition game. Terry's PR manager did not know if the attendees would be familiar with Terry or not, and commented to himself, "It will be really special if at least some of them in the crowd actually know who he is." As Terry hopped onto the field, the announcer said, "Ladies and gentlemen," and that's as far as the announcer got. because the crowd spontaneously erupted in a standing ovation for Terry. Perhaps it was his athleticism. Perhaps it was his ability to hide his pain. Perhaps it was his funny-looking curly hair that he had. But the sight of Terry hop-stepping on his good leg did not elicit pity. He would not have wanted that anyway. Rather, what struck you was his youth and the fact that at such a young age, he would do something so bold and so lofty. You couldn't help but be impressed with his determination in the face of his own sacrifice and his pursuit of something so much bigger than him. His personal quest to conquer his cancer evoked the myth of Sisyphus. He was an underdog. He did not stand much of a chance, and yet he kept going on with it, an almost childish stubbornness, come rain or shine. His perseverance commanded respect. He progressed across Canada. The monstrous effort he had to put in to sustain this pace, let alone on one leg, was just incredible. The sight of his awkward stride was no longer so unusual on the roads of Canada. Canadians expected to see him. He had made believers out of everyone. Suddenly, they found themselves rooting for him. They were so emotionally involved that they had almost forgotten that this was not a fair fight. So when halfway through his marathon, Terry announced from a stretcher that cancer had reached his lungs and caused him to get treatment, the disappointment was felt throughout Canada. He had run for 143 days, 3,309 miles, almost the distance between Miami and Seattle. His run had raised a total of $1.7 million, short of his goal of $24 million, but the next day an impromptu telethon added another $10 million, and by February 1981, donations hit the $24 million goal, realizing his goal of raising $1 per Canadian. When 4 months later he lost his fight against cancer, all of Canada cried, because his death at age 22 was personal. Cancer was personal. Run for it. What are you going to do? Whether you're the mother of my friend who, in the end, lost a battle with cancer, whether you're Terry Fox, only 22, whether you have cancer, whether you have some other affliction, whether you have a temporal affliction, whether you have a job, you lost a job. Oh, I got crippled. I lost my job. Are you just going to lay there and cry? Or are you going to pick yourself up, whatever your situation is, and just run for it? What are you going to do? Christ Jesus endured the cross, ignoring the shame, ignoring the pain, because he had a goal. He had a mission. What are you going to do? I don't know your situation. I don't know if you have two legs, a good leg, artificial leg. I don't know what you have. But what are you going to do? When your race is over, will you have accomplished what you were set here to do? Or are you going to sit by the side of the road, and cry? Get up. You only have one good leg. Get up on it. And just run. Run for it. Run for it till you reach your goal. So that when you get to the end, I don't know when your end is going to be, when the Lord's going to call you home, but when the Lord calls me home, when I got one leg to where I have to crawl, I want to say, well done. You ran for it. Run for it. Run for it. In Jesus' name. Yeah. On three, cry, run for it. One, two, three.
Run for it.
Be blessed.